Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, today we are going to jump in to some standalone messages. Last week we just wrapped up our 9-week series through this journey called Life to the Full. We looked at the characteristics that the Holy Spirit is growing and developing in us. And today I want to give part one of a 2-part message this week and next week of what grace looks like. I'm going to take the next 2 weeks and unpack this dynamic, this idea, what grace looks like. And I've entitled today's message, Breakfast on the Beach. Come on, how many know it's always a good day when you can eat breakfast on the beach? Is there ever a wrong time to eat breakfast? The answer is no. In fact, some of you who are watching at home right now, you're actually eating breakfast right now. Maybe you're on a beach. But today we're going to look at this topic. In a moment, we're going to look to John chapter 21. But I want us to understand something important as we begin today. Although knowing Jesus brings us comfort, the path of following Jesus is not always a comfortable path. Now, here's what I can say with conviction and confidence today. Knowing Jesus has brought so many different moments of comfort to my life, but the journey of following him isn't about my comfort. It's not about the familiar path. In fact, the journey of following Jesus, it's going to stretch us. At times, the journey of following Jesus, we have to remember it's a call to prioritize the faith that's involved in following. Now, this matters because all of us, our default setting, we prefer comfort, don't we? We like things that are familiar. In fact, there's some of us today, we've eaten the same breakfast for 30 years straight. I know you're here. I know you're watching. We have patterns that are familiar, but we need to understand Jesus continues to call us into this faith of following him. But the good news is there's grace for that. A number of years ago, our family, we were in Central Washington. We were staying at a hotel. And our kids at this age, our boys had gotten to the age where with a life jacket, they were completely comfortable with being reckless in a pool. I mean, they would just run and jump and dive and cannonball. I mean, they would just go crazy. Our daughter, though, Faith, was probably about 2.5 or 3 years old at this point. And I was trying to get her to be more comfortable jumping to me in the pool. And so we put her special little life jacket on, and I set her up on the edge of the pool. And I said to her, okay, Faith, I want you to jump to me. I want you to jump out. I'll catch you, I promise. I know Daddy's arms don't look that big, but they will catch you, I promise. And I remember backing out a little ways, and I said, okay, on the count of 3, I want you to jump. And she walked out to the edge, and I said, okay, 1, 2, 3, jump. And this is exactly what she did. I said, okay, no, stand up. Faith, I didn't say squat. I want you to jump. I'll catch you. And so I said, are you ready? Yep, I'm ready. Do you understand? Yep, I understand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, jump. And time after time, moment after moment, it's like everything within her, she wanted to step off of what was comfortable and familiar, but there was something that kept her from doing it. I remember one time particularly, I got up a little bit closer and I said, okay, I'm going to get a little bit closer and I want you to jump. And I said, okay, can you feel my hands? And so I'm literally touching her hand. She said, yes. And I said, okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3, jump. Now, At that moment, I was so close that she felt comfortable jumping, and she jumped not into the water, but right onto my head. And so I said, okay, just like my head caught you, next time let's try my hands. So put her back up on the edge, and I backed away a little bit, and I said, okay, are you ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, jump. Can you guess what she did? And as interesting as that moment was, can I tell you, I feel like that's a great description of our journey with Jesus at times. Where he calls us out of the familiar, out of the ordinary, out of what's comfortable, and he invites us into this journey where we put our faith into practice, and all of a sudden Jesus is like, okay, you ready? And we're like, yeah, we're ready. All right, you charged up. You're going to trust me? Yeah, I trust you. And Jesus is like, all right, come on. And we're like, Tuesday hits. And we were singing, God, you are working all things for my good on Sunday. And Tuesday said, all right, here we go. I know it's hard to see it and believe it right now. And we're like, where are you at? See, the path of following Jesus, even though we receive comfort from Jesus, the path he calls us to isn't a comfortable path. See, what we experience in life over time, we can condition ourselves to just prefer the comfortable or the familiar. But that's not always what Jesus calls us to. This journey of following him, it requires faith. And the good news is this, there's grace for that. There's grace for that. In fact, consider Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2. He describes grace this way. He says, for you are saved by grace. Can you say by grace? Now, what is grace? Grace is unearned, undeserved favor. Paul goes on. He says, you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself. So none of us has the ability to look around at other people and go, man, I know why God saved me, because I am amazing. This is not from yourselves, it's what? It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Grace is God's gift. We are not saved from the good works that we do, but we are saved for some good works to do. We're not saved from them, we are saved for them. And here's why this matters. Grace meets you right where you are at. So for those of us who are watching today and we say, well, Tyler, I want to get into right relationship with God. There's just a few things I got to fix. No, you misunderstand the message of grace. Grace meets you right where you are at, but grace will never leave you right where you are at. And that's the part that many of us, we lose sight of. Because grace doesn't just get you in. Understand this. Grace also grows you up. Grace is what matures us in this journey with Jesus. It's grace that actually empowers us when we are on the edge of life, so to speak, and God is calling us to trust him in a new season, calling us to step out in faith, calling us to trust his strong arm. And instead of doing this, we actually find that confidence to take that step. See, what does this grace mean for us today? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? I think it's important to ask that question, and here's why. We have been going through a season of adaptation and formation. All of us, we have been formed by things these last 18 plus months in a more compressed way than many of us have ever experience. We've had to adapt, we've had to shift, we've had to change, and as things begin to return to a little bit more of a normal condition, it is going to be so easy for many of us to return to comfort, to return to the familiar. Had a conversation last weekend following one of our gatherings. This couple comes up to me, they say, Tyler, guess what? This is our first time back in the building in 18 months. I was like, that's awesome. Man, I'm glad you're back. And the individual, they looked at me and they said, you know, I got to be honest, it got really comfortable watching in my pajamas while I was eating breakfast. I said, I get it. I get it. It's easy to grow comfortable, but we got to understand, even though Jesus brings us comfort, following Jesus isn't just about our comfort. He calls us to trust him. He calls us to grow in this grace. And the question that I want us to consider over the next couple of minutes is this: will we prioritize the faith of following or the comfort of the familiar? In the season and the journey in front of us, will we prioritize the faith that's required in following, or will we prioritize the comfort of the familiar? Now, hear me clearly. Comfort and familiarity are not bad. Come on, that's a good place to say amen. All of us like comfort. Comfort and familiarity are not a bad thing until they keep our feet of faith from following. See, the danger is when I prioritize my comfort over my faith. That's when comfort and familiarity become dangerous in life. We're going to look to a story where one of the disciples of Jesus, he goes back to what's familiar. He goes back to what's comfortable. And Jesus, in his grace, meets him right in that place. Look with me to John chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 3. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. I'm going fishing. Now, here's what's interesting for those who are maybe newer to Scripture. Simon Peter, his occupation that was passed down from generations before him, when Jesus first found him, he was in a boat fishing. It's what he knew. It's what he did. This would have been normal life for him. It would have been the familiar. It would have been the comfort. And what's interesting is now this is after Jesus has lived his life. He's ministered on the earth for 3 years. He was physically put to death. He was physically buried in a tomb. And then he physically rose again from the dead. Now, let me be extremely clear. Jesus, when he rose again, he did not just rise from the dead as a spirit. Jesus is alive. He physically rose from the dead. And if you don't believe that, you actually do not believe in the tenets of Christianity. Some of you guys are like, whoa, Tyler, kind of heavy-handed for 10 a.m. No, we need to understand this. Because the Jesus who reveals himself is not some disembodied spirit. Jesus is alive. And this is epicenter to our faith. Why? Because it is the hope of resurrection. Because he is alive, we too will be alive in him. And so in this place, I got to move on. Okay. In this place, Peter says, I'm going fishing. We're coming with you, the disciples said. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. How many of you, that describes your fishing experience as well? I know for me, different times I've gone out fishing with friends and they're like catching one after another. And I'm like, man, that looks really fun. I'll just keep throwing this thing in the water over here. They caught nothing all night. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? Now, when I'm reading scripture, I like to imagine the tone, the facial expression, and I can't help but hear a little bit of sarcasm in Jesus' words here, a little twinkle in his eye saying, hey, guys, you look a little tired. You don't happen to have any fish, do you?
Look at their answer. No. No, we don't have any fish. So Jesus says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Is that directional, or was it because they were fishing on the wrong side? It's amazing what happens when we follow the directions of Jesus. Another message for another day. Cast it on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Look at this. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish.
The disciple, the one that Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, if you're newer to Scripture, this is the way that John always refers to himself. He never calls himself John. He says, "The disciple, the one that Jesus loved." Now, I'm writing this book, and so, just so you know, I'm the one that Jesus loved. How many of you, that's how you worship in church, right? I'm the one that Jesus loves. This is John. And he says to Peter, "Peter, it's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off. He plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, only about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. Now I want you to notice what happens next. Verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it, and bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Now look at these next four words of Jesus. "Come and have breakfast." The disciples, they already knew their assignment was not to revert back to fishing for fish. Jesus had already given them a clear command. They were to fish for people. He said, "Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." And yet, in this space, they had reverted back to what was comfortable, what was familiar. They went back to what they knew best to do. And yet, Jesus, he meets them in this place, and the first thing they're greeted with that day is breakfast on the beach. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told him. And a second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you."
"Shepherd
my sheep," he told him. And he asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know
that I love you.
Feed my sheep," Jesus said. What's interesting, a number of days before, Peter had the opportunity to stand faithful and acknowledge that he was one of Jesus' disciples. But the challenge was that he denied Jesus three times. And yet Jesus, in his grace, reaches out and creates the environment, creates the opportunity for Peter, instead of denying him three times, to acknowledge him three times that, "Yes, I love you." But before we ever get to the questions, what happens? Jesus feeds Peter breakfast. What's the point? Well, the point is this: grace looks a lot like breakfast on the beach. Grace, it looks a lot like breakfast on the beach. You see, God in his grace, he meets us where we are, but he's unwilling to leave us there. And God in his grace meets Peter back in the boat. There he is. Peter's failed. Peter's denied Jesus. And instead of starting with the questions, what does Jesus do? Jesus feeds him. That's grace. You see, in this story here, we notice some concepts. Jesus reveals some things about this God that I love and I serve. See, in Jesus, we see a number of things. Number one, we see the reach of God. Can you say reach? We see the reach of God. In fact, I love that Jesus in verse 5, he calls out to the disciples and he calls them friends. Now think about it. These guys traveled with Jesus for 3 years. They saw blind eyes open. They saw the masses fed. And instead of doing what Jesus left them to do, they're out fishing. If I'm calling out to them, I'm saying, hey, knuckleheads, you're doing the wrong thing. That's not the fishing I was talking about. But what do we see? We see God reaching out to people that he loves and calling them friends. See, Jesus, he pursued. Jesus, he reached. Never lose sight of this. Grace is not about us trying to reach our way to God. Grace is all about his reach towards us. Here's the second thing we notice. Not only the reach of God, we notice the reception of God. Can you say reception? Notice what John says here in verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. And then verse 12, come and have breakfast. Man, talk about a reception. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you failed and the reception that you're expecting, it's a little bit different than breakfast. See, many of us, when we think about our failure or the issues that we're working through, the fractures, the flaws in our lives, many of us, we don't think, you know what God's probably going to do? God's probably going to show up and provide me breakfast. Many of us are waiting for the voice of God to sound a little bit like this. You are a failure. You knucklehead. Are you kidding me? Now, do you notice that that voice sounds a lot like our own voice of self-condemnation, doesn't it? Yet, what does Jesus do? Jesus reveals a radically different form of grace. Jesus reveals an incredible reception. Jesus had the fire going and breakfast ready before they even got there. This is amazing. How good is God? Some of us, we are on this journey back to Jesus, and we're wondering, man, how is God going to welcome me back? Am I going to meet this long, pointy finger and just scolding me? And here's what you need to understand. God, in his grace, is willing to provide people breakfast before they even have the chance to ask some questions. That's grace. I want you to consider what the disciples experience as they come to shore that day. The fire was already going. The breakfast was already cooking on it. Jesus said, hey, go get some more fish. And they're welcomed to sit around this fire. And I have to wonder, as Peter walks ashore and he sees the fire going, does his mind go back to just a number of days earlier where he stood by a different fire? When Peter sees Jesus, because again, those of us who are unfamiliar with the storyline in Scripture, Peter, just a number of days before, denied knowing Jesus three times as he warmed his hands by a fire. And Jesus now comes ashore, Peter comes ashore, finds Jesus, and as he sees Jesus, is this some type of cruel trick that Jesus is going, hey, Peter, remember how you messed up, you knucklehead? Remember the fire last time, Peter? No, I think what's happening here is God in his grace is repurposing the moment that was Peter's greatest failure is all of a sudden going to be the moment where the grace of God becomes real to him at a whole new level. God provides him breakfast. This is crazy to me. And here's the dynamic that I want us to consider as Life Center for a moment. Because many of us, over time, we get comfortable around the fire, don't we? Come on, some of us, we are so thankful that the grace of Jesus met us, and we're comfortable around the fire. It's familiar, and we get familiar with those who are already sitting around the fire with us. Because we all know the right campfire songs. We all know the right campfire stories, right? And my question is there room for others around this fire? Are we willing to create space around the fire? That the same grace that we've been recipients of, that we can actually create room for others to receive it. Because the third thing that I noticed from the scripture is this, is we see the restoration of God. We see the restoration of God. In fact, Jesus, he asked Peter this question, Peter, do you love me more than these? But notice that question happens after breakfast. This is so amazing to me because it appears like Jesus has this concept of grace that he creates space for people to belong in relationship with them even before their behavior fully catches up. How many of you are thankful that God's grace met you even before your behavior caught up? Some of us, we are still recognizing, yeah, my behavior is still catching up. See, this is how amazing our God is. God provided breakfast before there was even that chance. It reminds me of Luke 15, where the father cuts off the son's rehearsed repentance speech and says, quick, grab a robe, a ring, and sandals. See, God is all about restoration. Jesus, his goal in this passage, it's restoration, but understand the context. It's restoration in the context of relationship. Peter, do you love me? It's relationship. It's not transactional. Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, here's what I need you to do. I need you to take a couple laps back and forth across the lake doing your crawl stroke to prove to me that you're serious this time. Peter, do you love me? The goal was restoration of relationship. And why does that matter? We don't just stop at receiving this restoration. Friends, we are called to extend this hope of restoration to others. That's why it matters for a moment for us to consider as we get comfortable around the campfire. And man, we're familiar with how the campfire feels because we've been welcomed in. We've received this grace. But what about the family members? What about the coworkers? What about friends who go to school with us? What about people who live in our neighborhoods that they haven't felt the warmth of the fire or the taste of the breakfast that God has prepared? God is a God of restoration. We need to understand that, yes, we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. But even though we're not saved by our good works, we are saved for our good works. As we experience this restoration, we need to become conduits of it to others. See, grace, it looks a lot like breakfast on the beach. Looks a lot like breakfast on the beach. What I love about this journey with Jesus, he continues to call us to follow. To follow. Later on in the story, Peter's talking with Jesus, and he points over at John, and Peter says, well, Lord, what about him? What about him? And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, don't worry about that. You follow me. How many of us, we are sidetracked today because we're more consumed and concerned about what somebody else is doing instead of just simply keeping our eyes following Jesus? How many of our days have been wasted when we measure ourselves by what somebody else is doing or asking God, what about them? You know what God says to us about them? Don't worry about them. Focus on me. Focus on me. Run the race I've given you. You see, the point is this, going back to verse 6, where Jesus, he says to the disciples, hey, have you caught anything? Throw the nets on the right side of the boat. Throw the nets on the right side. And what happens there? Well, they experience a miraculous catch. What's the point? The point is this. A few minutes with Jesus in control is so much more fruitful than our own control. A few moments of us trusting Jesus, surrendering Jesus, and saying, I want the net on this side. Where he's calling us to trust him, calling us to leave the familiar, calling us to step out. Friends, imagine what happens when we prioritize the faith of following. And the good news is there's grace for that. There's grace for that. God's grace is so good. Jesus is so, so good. So for those of us who are tempted to think that somehow we have to earn our right standing back, you've missed the message of grace. For some of us who feel like we're not worthy to sit around the fire because we've done too much, we've said too much, we've thought too much, you've missed the message of grace. For those who've grown comfortable around the fire and we've kind of ignored the needs of others who need to be welcomed around the fire, we've missed the message of grace. Grace looks a lot like breakfast on the beach, where we receive what we didn't earn, where we are welcomed back into this relationship with Jesus. You see, why does this understanding of grace matter? Why is this so important for us right now, right today? These characteristics of reaching and reception and redeeming, repurposing. Why does this matter? Because at the end of the day, what we see Jesus do, we should follow. What we see Jesus active in, we too should be active in. And this matters because this is what growing up in grace looks like for us. So today, I want to talk about a couple of next steps. We do this every single weekend here at Life Center. If you're new with us, I'd encourage you, grab your smartphone. If you're with us every single week, grab your smartphone if you're here in the room. For those who are watching online, the team's going to put a link up. I want you to join me. Take 5 seconds in choosing one next step from the message that we've heard today. And I love every single Monday, I get a report from our team and I read through every individual. I read through the responses. I pray over you. I pray over the prayer requests that come in. Today, I have 3 of them. If you're a regular with us, there's going to be no shock of what my first next step is, because we give this opportunity every time we gather. What is it? Maybe today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Maybe that's your next step. That will always be our first next step. Life Center, we will always be a place that welcomes people to experience the grace of Jesus. And today, maybe you've come to that place where you recognize, man, I can't do this in my own strength. You've tried through your effort, you've tried through your earning, you've tried through your religious pursuits, and you recognize, I actually just need the grace, unearned, undeserved favor of Jesus. If that's you, say yes to him. See, that decision, it deals with our sin, our shame, our separation through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Our debt has been paid in full. Maybe today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Here's the second next step. Maybe this is you. Maybe you realize that this week I need to receive the reception. I need to receive the reception that God has made available to me. See, here's what I'm convinced of. There's followers of Jesus that have already said yes to Jesus, but then there's reasons why we convince ourselves that we're not welcomed at the fire. We convince ourselves why we shouldn't be allowed to have breakfast. We need to fix some things first before we should be able to. And yet, here's what God is saying in his grace. Come to the reception that I've made available to you. There's breakfast available on the beach. It's about my grace. Come and receive. Maybe that's your next step. You've been busy beating yourself up. You've been busy measuring yourself by somebody else. And today, you just need to simply receive the reception that God's made available. Here's the third next step. You need to extend the reception. This is for those of us who maybe we've grown a little bit comfortable around the fire. We got all of our kind of campfire friends. We know we're good. And we've stopped asking who's not at the fire that should be. Who's missing? That's for us. For those of us who have become more self-focused or self-consumed in our faith and forgot that the arrows of our faith are designed to be pointed outward, not just inward. So if that's you, check that box, because we're going to pray that God will help us in these areas. Today, would you join me in prayer right now? Jesus, thank you for your grace. God, thank you that grace looks a lot like breakfast on the beach. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's just your kindness that meets us in that moment. God, I pray for those who They've known you for years, but for whatever reason, maybe it was a failure or a decision or a pattern in their lives, and they've convinced themselves that they don't belong around the campfire. They don't have a spot. God, I pray that by your grace, you would remind them that the reception is for them. For those of us who have grown comfortable around the fire and we've lost sight that there's others that we need to make space for, we need to make room for, we need to extend that reception to others. God, would you place a conviction in us this week that it's not just about us. That we're not called, although we receive comfort from you, we're not called to just pursue a comfortable life. God, would you stretch us to be extenders of that reception? And today, maybe it's your desire to say yes to Jesus. You want to know that grace for yourself. If that's you, can I invite you to say this simple prayer with us? Say these words. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate those who are making that decision today? Listen, I'm going to welcome you to stand to your feet all across this room and the balcony as well. Those who are watching at home, go ahead and stand up. You've been sitting for a while. Listen, I want to remind us that we are going to be sent out from this place on assignment this week. Why? Because we don't just go to church. We are the church. So let's go and let's be the church this week. Don't miss next weekend. I'm bringing part two of what grace looks like. It also includes a fish. Don't miss it. Hope to see you next weekend. God bless.